proud of being a Native American. These people who helped us in Sea Alaska and 13th Region and the people who worked hard were our parents. They worked very hard to get this land claims thing off the ground. And here we are bickering about it. It really just upsets me when people do that. No one knew what to expect. Had we known, we'd be billionaires by now. We wouldn't be quibbling over 100 shares. They would be able to quote us a price. Right now, ask somebody how much your share is worth. They'll say, I don't know. We won't know till 1991. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Mr. Commissioner, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Alan Heitman, and I'm from Kodiak, belong to the Kodiak region, and reside down here in Seattle. I don't think we have but three Kodiak stockholders here amongst us. And my big concern, which you brought up, Mr. Commissioner, is the FCC. My feeling is that the government should put us back where we will be covered by the FCC. To be under their umbrella and keep us away from a lot of these lawsuits that are coming about. I've been in these lawsuits. I know what it's like. I have a stack of papers at home that I don't even hardly understand. And they continue coming in. And another thing I'd like to point to you is what we call our afterbirths. The young ones that are coming along after 1971, what are we going to do for them? Which is a broad question. And I think each and every one of us, the elders and the young ones, should get together and talk this out. And another thing that concerns me is the opt-in, opt-out election. I've heard a number of at-large people here right today. As you know, we had a choice to vote into our Alaska region or stay within the 13th. I voted out, but, I quote, we did not get a chance to vote into any villages. That's all I have for now. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mayor, very much.
Good afternoon. My name is Clarissa Evans. I am a Sea Alaska member, and I'm also a Tribal Corporation member. I haven't been down here in these United States I've been here for 3 years. But there's a lot of things that have been covered since I've been sitting here that is very interesting. And there are a lot of things that I have questions about. I've lived in Alaska. I have been living close to where my tribal corporation was.
Where is that?
Cake Tribal. And if this Sea Alaska land claims was for the people, as like they're saying right now, United States, so Reagan is for us. That's the same way I feel about the corporations. You know, I don't feel that they are doing anything for the people as much as they claim to. I have not seen as much profit. The things that I have gotten out of the corporation, I have nothing to show for. And like that one, Antoinette, whatever her name is, I see where our families, parents, grandparents before, what their idea of benefits for us is not coming to us at all. It's going to the directors that are working, the people that are employed. Where's all this employment that they promised? If you live there in the community, fine, you'll get it. Where's this land they're talking about? Sure, they give you a If you get a dividend, what is it, 115? If you're lucky. But how much is that? It's a drop in the bucket nowadays. It goes right to Reagan. It goes whatever, you know. I really don't mean to be sarcastic or catty, but I just don't see any other way to go. I would appreciate having some answers. And I'm wondering, are we going to have some answers from you, any documentation sent back to the people that request it?
Yeah.
I would like to go on record that I would request.
Well, you will. If you leave us your address,
okay.
I will send you my report, which will be out in September. I promise that to
all the
Thank folks you. Here. And it'll be published as a book. You'll be able to get it all over the United States, I hope. Sure, sure.
I was also born in Alaska. And
your name?
Rania Bailey LaPlante. I'm enrolled to the village and also region. That's Bethel Native Corporation and Chilista Corporation. And there's a lot, we receive a lot of information. Am I speaking into this?
All right. Sure, go ahead.
We receive a lot of documentation, information, and just a very small amount of dividends. Someone is getting a nice bank account in Switzerland. Now, I know a lot of the corporate leaders up there. And we also received a right of first refusal, which I have right here. And we were given the stipulation. It stipulated that if we signed the right of first refusal documents, we would receive remuneration. And to this date, we have not. I believe it was 1982. And how about that reconveyance of land up on the Stony River? That's deficiency lands. There's been nothing further. It's written in the Tundra Drums, certainly. But there's a lot of arguments back and forth about that, but nothing is done. I'd like to know about that reconveyance. That's very important to us. We're entitled to, we're providing for those people up there. I mean the corporate leaders. There are a lot of other issues that I've heard.
I don't know anything about that specific reconveyance, you know.
Well, it's still, that's legal from, I have his name right here.
Well, we don't need his name. But,
okay. Well, as far as the land, of course, that's something that we'll always have that proximity factor with. And the people, of course, they all, it's unanimous that they express, you know, the same sentiments that I do. So we'd like some feedback on this, please.
Okay. Well, you'll be getting a report from me in September.
Well, from where?
From Anchorage.
I know, but what, is this from your review commission?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Do I have to give you my address and all that? I want to be assured.
Just leave it over here with Joyce.
Just fine. Well, I want to make sure about this reconveyance also.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, my name is Donna Hamilton Baptista. I'm a Haida from Ketchikan, Alaska. At enrollment time, my whole family enrolled with Sea Alaska at large. 3 years later, one of my sisters was mysteriously enrolled with the 13th. I know that this Settlement Act is the result of many years of hard work. For many, it was a labor of love. But I feel that we sold ourselves and our future children out. Only a selected few have really benefited from the Settlement Act. Many of us down here had to move here, some for health reasons, some for education, and others for employment. When we did that, we did not give up our heritage. We were only misplaced people. We have no place. We have no place to fish. We have no place to hunt. We have no place to meet. we have no place to sing. And we have no place to dance. We have no place. So we of all people know what it is like to not have any land. The land that is such an important part of our life. The land will always be where the money will run out and there will be nothing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I have a prepared statement that I'll ad-lib after. My name is Lindsay Buxton. I'm a Park Tlingit, was born in Petersburg, Alaska, and was raised in Seattle, Washington. My mother brought me to Seattle in 1947 when a bout of the whooping cough threatened my life. My younger brother died of whooping cough and is buried in Juneau, Alaska. My mother tells me that many of our people died in Alaska due to inadequate medical facilities. Despite the fact that I live outside of the state of Alaska, I consider Alaska my homeland. I'm a shareholder of the Sea Alaska Corporation. Although I appreciate the opportunity to speak before you, I must confess I view this hearing as asking a rape victim, how does an individual feel after the intolerable act? I feel degraded, violated, humiliated, resentful, sorry, and angry. European settlers have not been honest with ethnic people of color, especially the Native American, since the first pilgrim landed on our shores. Society discriminates against those not conforming to the melting pot mold, and somehow we, especially the Native American, has had to accept this discrimination in order to hold on to our culture and heritage. To coin a phrase, we feel like aliens in our own country, and this is devastatingly frustrating and painful. To begin with, Russia had no title to Alaska, nor any rights to the resources, yet sold native land to the United States. The native people of Alaska were not consulted, nor was permission asked of the native people on the course of action taken which would alter our lives forever. Today, we are dealing with the Alaska Land Claim Settlement Act. What are our reactions, you ask? To be thrown into a foreign corporate system is like placing a child in the wilderness and advising that child to survive. Some of our people have withstood the challenge. Others, like myself, are worried that with the high chances of losing our land through taxation under the 1991 issue, our land, our culture, and our heritage will be lost forever. The only good thing about the Settlement Act was that it finally admitted native land ownership. I am a mother of three children. They will all one day have children. How can they pass on a dignified culture and our people's heritage when it will only be a memory, perhaps lost somewhere in sociological studies? I wish our land to remain in Native control. I wish for a reasonable settlement with Native concerns placed as a priority. In order to be proud Americans, we must not only seek justice, but experience justice. Part of the options of the Sea Alaska Corporation had included special provision for our elders. I'm in favor of that resolution. Also, I'm in favor of Alaska Natives born after the Settlement Act to be considered in it. I'm very concerned that there is a lot of talk about the IRA adopting the IRA status for our land. I'm concerned because as a Lower 48 resident and very close to what has happened with other Native American tribes, it has been and is history that the Bureau of Indian Affairs has always perpetuated a conflict of interest, has abused its power, and has not truly acted in the interests of the Native Americans. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Evelyn Dunlop from the Chittenden Native Corporation and the Otna Corporation. Concerning 1991, I received a survey, and I thought this might be of interest to someone else. Maybe they can answer some of these questions and mail or write their answers to. Is it the ANB that handles the ANB?
Well, the AFN, perhaps.
The AFN. And some of these questions are, shares in corporations should be sold to anyone. Do you agree or disagree? Shares in Native corporations should be sold only to the other Alaska Natives. Do you agree or disagree? Would you ever sell your corporation stock? Do you agree or disagree? Or yes or no? Would you ever sell should corporation issue new stocks to new Natives, those born after December 18, 1971? Most Natives should know what their corporation is doing, yes or no. And when you want to get information about your corporation, what do you do? And what do you plan to do with your stock in the future? To sell it, keep it, sell part. And I just thought these would be good answers for some of these people out here.
To think about, sure.
Sure. And that is all.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Again, my name is David Austin. I heard Mr. O'Leary speaking about fair hearings, withdrawal. And those are funny words to me because there is no such thing as a fair hearing, which the white man has proved over the 400 years that we've dealt with him. And withdrawal, that's just a fancy word for annexation or stealing. And he talks about complex legal problems. I don't understand what is so complex about when we own the land and it is ours, what is so complex about us claiming ownership to it? And why do we want to deal with Congress? It's like asking there's some burglars that came into your house and stole your property to be on the jury. You know, it's sort of crazy. It doesn't take the wisdom of Solomon to know that that our land was stolen. And that I think one of our recourses is to try and get United Nations approval and status and go before the World Court, because other than, I believe, the Oneida Indian tribe last September won a case against the United States where a U.S. Federal Appeals Court ruled in their behalf, saying that there is no statute of limitations on the amount of time that had transpired since the white man stole their land, and they put that in black and white. So, I believe the whole land claim should be overturned because it is our land. It is not to be sold. Our children's and our children's children's rights, they are not receiving due process of law. Just the land claims is illegal as far as I'm concerned. I do not consider myself a U.S. citizen. I consider myself a political prisoner of the United States. I'm not an American as far as they, quote unquote. When I'm asked if I'm a United States citizen on job forms now, I won't fill it out because I am not a United States citizen. I'm an Alaskan, I'm Tlingit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Austin. I think that you might be interested in knowing that we had hearings in Aniak and Bethel last week, and the Association of Village Council Presidents made a formal presentation to the commission, and they said they had authorized their litigation committee to launch a lawsuit to overthrow ANCSA. Now, whether they'll bring the lawsuit, what the chances of its success would be, are matters that nobody can really foresee, but Mr. Austin especially might be interested in that bit of news. Well, look, I want to thank you all for coming. Well, I've got a few more minutes if you're not done. Sure. When we got to 65, I stopped counting.
I'm sorry. It's okay. Hi, my name is Cindy Lean from Federal Way, Washington. Byron Mallett has stated that he felt many people are confused about 1991 issues. I feel strongly that, from what I've heard and how I feel, is that people aren't really confused. People don't like what's going on. When they feel that promises are made, that they should be able to see cash dividends as they said they would give us. These promises should be made and they should be kept. And they should be kept on a routine basis. That means that we should get dividends on a routine basis, as you would for Xerox or IBM or any of the other profit-making organizations, and not vague excuses as to why we rarely see cash dividends. We hear from people who have knowledge of inside activities within the corporation that huge salaries are being paid to the president and the former president of Ocean Beauty in figures that come close to $200,000 a year. Also, these same people have received bonuses of hundreds of thousands of dollars. Why are they paid these outrageously high salaries when we aren't making any profit and we haven't any cash dividends? Well, if the board receives such high salaries and equally high bonuses, why can't the board reallocate that same money to the shareholders, which would amount to $5,000 or $6,000 to each of the 16,000 shareholders, or however many there are? I am a Sea Alaska shareholder myself, the mother of four small children who is trying to go back to college so I can get my degree. In the meantime, I have very little money and very little food and next to nothing for gas, yet I try. And I don't think that I'm the minority among shareholders. I think many shareholders have financial binds which they have little control over, yet a dividend or two would certainly help us out. Many are concerned about the majority of the shareholders selling out their stock and the board losing controlling interest. Controlling interest seems to be what the board wants the most. Yet, if there wasn't a major problem in management or mismanagement or abuse, I'm not sure that this would be an issue. If there is abuse and mismanagement, as some people have clearly stated, then I think that should be investigated by the outside proper authorities, such as the FBI or whoever handles that kind of a problem. There is the majority that is terribly concerned with the board's management of our affairs, because these are our affairs. Many people have expressed an interest in selling stock just to get the money and to get rid of some of the problems that we all feel that we share, and yet we have so little control. I personally would prefer to keep my stock intact, yet I may not be able to do so. We may not have anything left to keep intact. Although Sea Alaska isn't obligated to totally support me or my family, if there were cash dividends, as they stated up front, then life would be somewhat easier, not only for me, but many of you. Many people share these feelings. I have heard this time and time again. Just because a few shareholders have reasonable and just questions doesn't mean that they should be called dissidents. Yet, anyone who disagrees with the board is negatively labeled as a dissident. Steps are currently being taken and talked about to remove dissidents' rights from the shareholders as a group. And this is with reference to continuation of stock restrictions. This is grossly unfair. Just because I have a question doesn't mean that I'm a dissident. I have the right to know, as you do. They say that now there's 19 to 25% of the native control being turned over to other people, even though it's restricted. These transfers have come about because of divorces and other miscellaneous restrictions. There are loopholes in the restriction of stocks that I feel should be taken care of. We need to be very careful in our retention. Descendants of natives retain rights through inheritance, so they're really not losing out on anything. However, descendants should have some voting rights, even if they have one quarter blood quantum or less. Land protection is an issue which clearly needs to be addressed. More needs to be done to stop trespassers who, after the statute of limitations, will retain sole ownership of our land due to homesteading. They're not natives, and they're not, well, I can't say they're not Americans, but that is our land, and they will get that just because they homestead it. Maybe that's what we should be doing. In review, I feel that current restrictions on the alienation of stock should remain in effect, but let's tighten up the loopholes so we don't lose anything. The 1991 seminars are helpful to the shareholders when they're held as structured, and there is concurrent feedback to the issues. Rather than at a recent workshop that I attended, we weren't given the opportunity to discuss the issues as they came about. Rather, we were forced to watch all of the movies. And that was almost too much information for many of the people. They were not able to give their viewpoints on specific issues. And yet, that's how the workshop was set up. Corporations should not be allowed to issue new stock to new natives. But I think we should give them full voting rights, as they will still inherit in years to come, if there's anything left to inherit. Land should be better protected from loss than they are now, especially from eminent domain. That's condemnation from the government. In order to provide more participation from the new natives, different classes of stock may be issued, restricted to voting rights only. Elders should be given special benefits, such as preferred stock. And there are other things besides. They are a special segment of our populace and should not be forgotten, as in the white sector, which currently takes their elders and puts them in a closet and forgets about them. Let's see to it that we don't do that to ours. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Address for that.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. Yes, Ms. Hyde.
I'm all dooted up and for a purpose. I'm scared somebody will say you're not a raven, because I can't prove it. I did want to address one thing. There has been a lot of comment in the last 2 days, and I've been here for all 2 days, and there have been some wonderful things said, and this gentleman has been absolutely a saint and should be applauded for how well he has handled this, and I would like to encourage people to let him know that he has been very even-handed and very honest and fair and very tolerant, I have to say, because some of us have been belligerent. But I wanted to address the point of heritage. My mother's heritage was erased in February 1893, and there's no way I'm ever going to get it back. It's gone. Her children, her grandchildren, it's gone. Anybody who has married a white man, like my mother did after 1923-22, I mean, that even made certain that the heritage was gone. I thought my feeling was about the land settlement was not that we were getting something to preserve our heritage, because too many of us have lost it. In fact, I was talking to a young man here who didn't even know the history of the Tlingit people. He didn't know that the Tlingits and Yakutat burned out the Russians when they tried to land there, and they always looked down on the Sitka people because they let them build a fort there. He'd never heard about that. And here I am, a stranger from New York, and I had learned about that. He says, talk to your old-timers. We were a fierce people. We fought, and we did things like that. But you see, it's gone. Nobody knows the history. They don't care, because the white man's told them, go get a job and get a washing machine and get a refrigerator. That's more important. That's the only things that count. But I did feel this about the land settlement. My mother suffered great indignities because she was an Indian. She also had great things. She went to Europe and things like that. So, I mean, it evened itself out. But I felt that the land settlement was an indemnity, a payoff for all the indignities that she had received and you've all received. But it hasn't worked that way at all. And that is what I think and what I hear complaints. I hear people talking about the land as our heritage. Land, no matter whether you're an Indian or a white man, is wealth. Why do you think the white man wants it? That's the only real wealth we have. And the thing that if you want your land, you're going to have to make sure your corporations know that you understand that land is wealth, because the bankers want it. They'll come in and lend them all the money that they want. And our corporate people think that the money's not important. The money that tomorrow the U.S. government can write on a piece of paper that $1 million today is worth only $10 tomorrow with just the stroke of a pen. Money right on it says it's fake. So if you want your land, the only way you can keep it is you let everybody know, don't you dare touch my land. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Knight. Well, maybe it's appropriate that if no one else wishes to speak, that Mrs. Height should have the last word. We've had two very good days of hearings here in Seattle. I'm glad we came. I didn't realize that it was so essential to come to Seattle. I'm glad we came. 65 people testified in the last 2 days, and I learned a lot, and I want to thank all of you who testified. Thank all of you who came. You can be sure that I will send you my report in September. We have all of your addresses. And if you decide there's something else you want to say that you forgot, write to us in Anchorage, and Joyce and Mary have cards with the address. Just ask either one of them to give you a card and send me a letter, and I'll read it, and I'll treat it as if you had said it right here in the flesh. So this is the last hearing of the Alaska Native Review Commission. We had 60 in Alaska and one in Seattle. And this has been, in many ways, a most interesting 2 days, and I thank you all. We'll be going back to Anchorage in a couple of days and starting work on the report, and you will be getting that in September. And so thank you again, and I wish you well. Thank you.